close here. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now last week when Andrew Sarlo was speaking to us, he mentioned how that 2 Timothy is actually the Apostle Paul's last words. It's the last epistle that was written, or the last letter that Paul wrote on before he was finally put to death. And you know, we place emphasis on last words. And I read some last words this week. Now, if I can get this thing to work for me. And here are some last words. And in fact, when I read these words, I almost thought that I could use them as a heading or a title for today's message. And you can see what they are. It says, be a person who stands for something in a world that will fall for anything. Now, those are pretty impressive last words. Now, these aren't the last words of somebody who was about to pass away. These are actually the last words of a high school student who is going to graduate this year. And in the yearbook, along with their picture, one of the things that they write down is their last words. In other words, their last piece of advice. And reading through the last words of the different students from our school who are graduating, I came across this one. And it made my heart rejoice because these last words are actually written by Maria Nanny. The best advice that I found in the whole yearbook are right here. And I thought, you know, I could use them this Sunday because they go so well with what it is that we're going to be talking about. Be a person who stands for something in a world that will fall for anything. Now, that's really what we're going to see when we study 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is actually giving, I believe, to Timothy some advice. And I've labeled it good advice for 2009, for living in 2009. You know, one thing I love about the Bible is it's so relevant. You know, even though it was written so long ago, and it was written to an entirely different generation, and yet throughout time, it has always remained relevant. It's the most relevant book that has ever been written, because it was not only relevant for that time, but it's relevant for today. You know, there are so many books that have been written that are absolutely useless. In fact, I was looking, and I'll show you one. I just happened to find this one in my briefcase. Now, this one was given to me a number of years ago, in fact, 2004. It says to my favorite calc teacher, "Thanks for the great year." And they gave me this book, and the title of it is The Nothing That Is, The Natural History of Zero. Now, I have to be honest with you, I have never read the book. And in fact, the guy that gave it to me, I can't even remember him. And not only that, but if anybody wants a good book, I'm willing to give it away. Because it's a lot of nonsense. Like, who cares? This book will never make the bestsellers list. The Natural History of Zero. And yet the bookstores are full of such books. At least if I was to read this book, it wouldn't destroy my spirituality. But you know that the bookstores are full of books that have been written by natural man. And those books have been written to try and destroy a person's spirituality. And yet they're all out there. But thank God this morning that the book that we have, the Bible, is something that has been relevant ever since it was written, ever since God gave it, and it is good advice for 2009. The last of the last days. In this particular chapter, we saw that the Apostle Paul refers to the last days. He says, but know this, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, perilous isn't really a word that we use that often. But what it means is that there are going to be days that are full of risk and peril. There are going to be hazardous days. There are going to be dangerous days. And that's a characteristic of what's referred to in the scriptures as the last days. Perilous times. Now, as a time period, the last days actually go from the time of the Lord Jesus when he ascended back up into heaven, and they are going to last until he returns again. So it covers a large period of time. And it has certain characteristics. The first one we've already talked about, it's going to be a dangerous time. But not only that, it also tells us that it's going to be a time that as the days progress, that as times go on, that things are going to get worse. They're not going to get better. In fact, in this very chapter that we read, the Apostle Paul says that evil men in the last days, that they are going to grow worse and worse. And I believe that based on what you can see, as far as what's happening in this world that we live, and based upon Scripture, that you and I are living in momentous times. We are living in what I believe are the last of the last days. We are living when we should be watching for the coming of the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus promised to return again. And I believe that His coming is very, very close. And that we are coming to the end of what is referred to in the Scriptures as the last days. You know, we can't predict when the Lord is going to return. We can't set dates for when the Lord is going to return, because the Lord Himself said that no man knoweth the time. Only the Father knows when the Son is going to return. But we know upon the authority of God's Word that He is coming back. And before long, the last days will come to an end. And of course, the important thing for you and I is, are we ready for that return? Are you ready if the Lord was to return today and what is referred to as the last days were to come to an end? Are you ready for His return? Well, thank God, most of us in here this morning, we're ready. And we're ready not because we have lived a good life. Not because we are religious. Not because we are part of Bethel Bible Chapel, although we're delighted to be part of the local church here. But we are ready for the coming of the Lord because we have had a time in our lives when we realized that we were sinners in the sight of God. And we realized that the Lord Jesus, when He was dying upon the cross, that He was dying on account of our sin. And we placed our faith and our trust in Him. And we are relying upon the Lord Jesus. And that's why we're ready for His return. And that's the only way to be ready. There is no other way of salvation except through the Lord Jesus. And my friend, if you don't have Him, that's your greatest need in this meeting this morning. You have no greater need than the need of the Lord Jesus. And He's waiting to be your Savior. All it takes is for you to make the move, to ask Him into your life, to ask Him to be your Savior. And the Lord Jesus will come in, and then you too can be ready for His return. So good advice for living in 2009. And what I've done is I've taken this advice, and I've sort of broken it up into four little sections. Now, in the first section, I believe that the advice of the apostle to Timothy is this, is that Timothy is to be watchful, but he is not to be discouraged. You know, it would be easy to become discouraged, but he's to be watchful, but he's not to be discouraged. And then we'll see that the next advice that Paul is giving to Timothy is that he should follow good examples. We have to be careful as Christians who we follow. Then the third piece of advice is he's advising Timothy to hold on to what he has been taught by those that he could trust. And then finally, he is to rely upon the Scriptures. Now, I believe that this advice that Paul is giving to Timothy is excellent advice, and I tried to summarize it, and I came up with these four words, and I believe that they're good advice for each one of us. And that is that we should test before we trust. You know, I'm sure that we can all think of situations in life where we trusted before we tested, and we got ourselves into trouble. You know, I remember one in particular. It was just after we were married, and we bought a little house on Wyber Street here in town. In fact, it's the little house that Carol Allen lives in right now. She bought it from us many years ago. And with that house, I got a wooden ladder. Now, one day I had to go up on the roof. And so I thought, oh, I know what I'll do. And I went out and I grabbed that old ladder and up I went. Now, the problem was is that when I got up, just before I was going to go onto the roof, I got up on the top rung, and the rung broke. Now, because the rung broke, as you might expect, I went down, and I hit the second rung, and the second rung broke. And so you can just imagine the picture. Now, this all happened very quickly. In fact, I didn't have time to pull out the calculus and figure out how fast I was moving. Because not only did the rungs break, but the ladder started to move out. And in a very short time, I was in a heap on the ground and rather sore. You see, I should have tested that ladder before I trusted it. But I had things backwards. I trusted it, and then I tested it. And you know, there's a lot of things in life that you and I are well advised to test before we trust. And so the first piece of advice then is Timothy, I believe, is being advised here to be watchful but not to be discouraged. Now, as you read the first few verses of this particular chapter, I mean, I'm not sure how you feel, but I mean, it would be easy to be discouraged. I mean, it's really not what you would think of as being a very nice picture. In fact, if you go through those first few verses, you will see there that there are 19 characteristics of the last days that are laid out by the Apostle Paul. And the problem I have as I read them is that I find them all sounding too familiar. Because I believe that these characteristics that we read are very characteristics of the day in which you and I are living. In fact, I was thinking that if you were to sit down, say this week, and take out 2 Timothy chapter 3, write down those characteristics, and beside each characteristic, put a blank. And then sit down at night. And I wouldn't suggest doing this every night because you'll get discouraged if you do. But sit down and watch the National. Just watch the National one night. And as you watch it, write in the name of anybody that's mentioned that would fit one of the characteristics that's mentioned here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And my guess is that before the National is over, you could have the list filled. And in fact, I believe that you wouldn't even have to go to the National. All you would have to do is take the local newspaper. And as you read through the newspaper, look at your list. And likely before you're finished reading the newspaper, you could have filled in the list with the name of somebody that hits or fits one of these characteristics. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and the list goes on. And you know, I was thinking even of this week on the news. Did you hear about that 88-year-old man? 88 years old, that walked into a museum and gunned down somebody who was a guard at that museum. And as I read these verses, I thought, what a world we're living in. Wouldn't this fit him? Verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. What a list. My, it would be easy to get discouraged, wouldn't it? But you know, God doesn't want us to become discouraged. He doesn't want us to give up. And Paul is telling Timothy that later on in the chapter. He's telling Timothy to keep going. God doesn't want us to give up, even though they're difficult, hard times that we're living in. But he does want Timothy to be watchful. Because in these days in which we're living, there are evil men. We might refer to them as wolves in sheep's clothing. Deceivers who are trying to, as it were, take people in. To destroy their faith in God. They hate everything that is good. Anything that God stands for, they're against it. False prophets, those who are teaching things that are false, and they're looking for every opportunity that they have to get in and to deceive people and to take them away from God and to take them away from that which is good. And so they're just on the watch, they're on the prowl. And we need to be vigilant. We need to have our eyes open. We need to know God's word and to watch. And so Paul is telling Timothy of those sorts of men that creep into households and take captive gullible women. Now that doesn't mean all women are gullible. But they're talking about women here who have all kinds of problems and sins that are weighing them down. And so these people are just watching for that type of person so that they can go in and destroy them and to bring them into their following. And so the apostle is saying to Timothy that we need to be watchful, even though we are not to become discouraged. So that's the first piece of advice. But then in verses 10 to 12, he would be advising Timothy to follow good examples. You know, we have to watch who we follow, especially those who are young. If you start following the wrong person, they can quickly lead you astray. You know, we have to make sure, first of all, the person that we're following is somebody who can see. Can you imagine going into downtown Toronto and following a blind man? You know, if they just said to you, well, follow me, and you're in downtown Toronto, or even downtown Sault Ste. Marie, you would say, well, that'd be foolish. He can't see where he's going. And yet, you know how many people are following those who are spiritually blind? People that have never had their eyes opened? They might be standing up in pulpits. They might have beautiful gowns on. They might have lovely words to say, but they are spiritually blind. They have never accepted Christ as Savior. They know nothing of the grace of God, and people are following them. Make sure you follow someone who knows the truth. Make sure you follow someone, if you're going to follow someone, who knows where they're going. Someone who knows the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. We have to watch who we're following. And so Paul is then saying to Timothy, you know, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. In other words, Paul is saying to Timothy, take me for an example. You know, wouldn't it be great, wouldn't it? Just imagine being able to say that to someone else. That your life is such a caliber, that you have followed God in such a way that you're able to say to that person, now, consider me. Look at my life. That's what Paul is saying to him here. And you know, as I looked at this list, I couldn't help but think of how, you know, for all of us who are believers, that we are examples to others, and people are watching us. And of course, you've all heard that before, that, you know, we have to be so careful. And I was thinking, well, when people are watching me as a believer, as a Christian, what is it that they're really looking for? And I believe that this list that Paul gives us here is really what people are looking for when they're looking for a Christian. He says, first of all, my doctrine. You know, sometimes we can try to kind of underemphasize doctrine. And yet it is so critical what we believe. It is so important what we believe. I remember my father-in-law often saying, if a person is wrong concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, they're wrong in everything. What we believe about the Lord Jesus is very, very important. Our doctrine is important. And when people are watching us, they're interested in our doctrine. They're interested in our manner of life, how we live. They're interested in our purpose. If somebody was to be asked about you, or they'd be asked about me, well, what's that guy's purpose in life? How would they answer? What's my purpose? Am I any different from the world? How about my faith? How about long-suffering? How do I react when the going gets tough? Are people watching that? I believe that they are. My love, perseverance. I believe that this list here that Paul gives to Timothy is what others, unbelievers, are looking for when they're looking at your life and they're looking at mine. And they're trying to size up Christianity. And they're trying to see, well, is it really real? Then these are the things that they're looking for. And it's so important how I live. And then the next piece of advice that he gives to Timothy is to hold on to what he has been taught by those that he can trust. He says in verse 14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy had what we'd refer to as a godly heritage. He had something to be very thankful for. He had a grandmother who was a Christian. And he had a mother who was a Christian. And their desire in life was that Timothy would become a Christian and that he would know the doctrine and that he would know about the Lord Jesus. And that was the atmosphere in which Timothy was raised. And so Paul is telling him not to forget that and not to forget what he was taught by his mother and by his grandmother and by those that had cared for him, to remember it. Because he could trust those people. Now, everyone hasn't had the same heritage that Timothy had. I'm very thankful this morning that I do. I was raised in a Christian home. I had a mother and a father that loved me. And I know for my dad especially, because my mom passed away when she was young, but I know for my dad especially that the most important thing as far as his children are concerned, and he had five of them, is that they would be saved. There was nothing more important to him. That was the most important. And then not only that they would be saved, but that they would grow to know the Lord and that they would live for the Lord. That was his utmost desire. I know it. As far as us children were concerned. And so I had a similar upbringing to what Timothy had. And then I often think too of my old aunt and uncle. They were good Christians. And we used to go there in the summer for holidays. We didn't have much money, so we didn't go to fancy places for holidays. We went and visited our aunts and uncles. And we'd stay with them. We had a great time. And I can still remember my aunt going around the kitchen singing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." She couldn't carry a tune in a paper bag. But she used to sing it, you know, "Blessed Assurance." And she was singing it from her heart. Now, as kids, we used to kind of make fun of her, you know, because we were just kids. But, you know, I still remember it. And they taught us good things in the summertime. They taught us how to work and they taught us how to love the Lord. And I still remember the little church that I went to, a little gospel hall out in the middle of a farmer's field. And I thank God for that little hall and for the men that took an interest in me. And they taught me the scriptures. I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers. I'm thankful for the little choruses. I can still remember singing over every Sunday, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And all the way to Calvary, he went for me. He went for me. He died to set me free." I love those little choruses. They're full of truth. "I have a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my heart and my mind while I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost, and in hell if I die as I am." They told me the truth, and I'm thankful for it. And I stand upon that truth that I was taught as a young person. And I hope that all of you, those of you who were raised as children here at Bethel, I hope you're thankful for those that took an interest in you, who taught you the truth. They taught you the doctrines of God. And Timothy here is being encouraged by Paul not to let those things go. And then finally, he was to rely upon the scriptures. You know, this is really the ultimate test, isn't it? This here's maybe out of them all is the most important advice. And that is that we can rely upon the scriptures. You know, people can let us down. We can be following someone and they can let us down. We can be given advice and it's bad advice. But when it comes to God's word, when it comes to the scripture, they will never let us down. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This book is absolutely true. There is not one false statement in it. It is something that we can rely upon 100%. It will never let us down. Rely upon the scriptures. Study the scriptures. No more important book to read than the Bible. It's the most important book in the world. And it's never, ever going to let us down. And so my time is gone. Good advice here that Paul has given to Timothy. Good advice not only for Timothy, but advice for you and I. And may God help each one of us as we live in these momentous days, I'll call them. Days when we should be listening for the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, because it's going to happen. Jesus is coming again. Won't be long, we won't need this fancy building. We won't need this big room. We won't need the fellowship. Paul Ken's working away there so hard with those other men, getting it all ready for us. But you know what? Maybe before they're finished, the shout will come. And then we'll all just gladly, Ken included, even though he's put in all the time, and those working with him, he'll say, "We'll just leave her behind. They can have it because we'll be gone home to be with the Lord." What a tremendous future we have. And we need to keep our eye on the Lord and to live for Him, because it's the only thing, really, that counts. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the advice that Timothy was given here by Paul. And we just pray that this advice that was given to Timothy would be advice that each one of us would take to ourselves. And that You would help us in our lives to live for You. That You would help us to be watchful and to be vigilant. And that You would help us to follow those who are spiritually minded and those who love the Lord. And that You would help us to not forget all the truths that we've been taught concerning Your Word. And Lord, that we would just honor You. And if there are those here who know not the Savior, our Father, we would pray that You would bless them this morning and that they would come to trust the only One who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're thankful for being here. Pray for Your blessing now as we separate. In Jesus' name, amen. Now remember.